Hello and welcome to episode 111 of Teacher Tech Talk. I'm your host, Tom Varnum, the Digital Learning Specialist for the Tyngsborough Public Schools in Tyngsborough, Massachusetts. Today's episode will focus on how technology is used in teaching media studies. Media studies covers a wide range of courses like film studies, video production, and pop culture analysis. Obviously, classes like video production will feature a lot of technology, but how can teachers ensure that the technology doesn't overshadow the other important skills taught in these classes? How can teachers use tools like Google Classroom and Pear Deck to enhance the learning environment of a class like film studies? Let's find out. Our guest today is Anne-Marie Roy, who is a media studies teacher at Tyngsborough High School and Tyngsborough Middle School. Longtime friend, longtime colleague, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about your teaching experience and what kind of classes you offer?
Yes, I've been, as you said, we've worked together for quite a while. I've been with the Tyngsborough Public School System for over two decades. On the middle school level, I have taught various times, grade 6 through 8. Right now, I am teaching a grade 6 media studies class. And then as far as the high school, I teach electives, which are offered through grades 9 through 12, video production. I have some advanced students and independent study students that go on from the first class in video production. I teach pop culture. I teach film analysis. And there is also a follow-up to that with film, known as film studies 2.
So quite a while ago, you and I started working together on the video production. It wasn't even video production back then. It was a morning announcements broadcast. And I think we had one, maybe two cameras, and we didn't even have microphones. And it went straight into this ancient box that went out to the rest of the school. Now, can you tell us what kind of video production equipment and software and apps you have at a very advanced recording studio that we have now?
Yes. With the immense help of the funding through the town because of the regulations with requirements for a certain amount of your cable bill to go towards public school
all that money
programming.
Xfinity.
Exactly. We were able to get an unbelievable setup. We have a TriCaster setup that is amazing. It's a high-end editing and production system. We have some wonderful JVC and Canon cameras, probably half a dozen of each. We also use the Adobe editing system. It's Adobe Premiere Elements, and they also were able to contribute to very nice iMacs, and which supplemented the editing system we already had. So we're able to allow students to spread out and edit in small group situations. We have a really nice studio setup, and the equipment for students to leave the studio and get out and film what's going on in the school and bring it back and edit, and we package it together.
It is a very impressive studio, and I have very little idea how it works. It used to be that I could work the things that we used to have. I mean, when I started at Tyngsborough High School, we were using VHS tapes. For those of you who don't know what VHS is, maybe to ask your parents. So one of the things that can sometimes get in the way of the education part of using technology is we don't want to let the technology overwhelm the actual content. So what advice would you give teachers? I mean, you're especially your video production class, it's almost all technology. What advice would you give to help teachers keep the focus on the content and not get overwhelmed by the technology?
I think it's very important to, an educator to make it clear what the end message that you're expecting from students. And as far as the packaging of it and the extras that we can create with all this amazing technology, that's great. But if the essentials aren't there, if the basics aren't there, you know, whether it's, you know, starting with the standards and then expanding a lesson to make it interesting and educational, and make it a way, the nice thing about what I teach is I feel that students can be creative in how they can interpret the message and come up with an end result throughout the use of technology, but without losing sight of what was our point in the beginning. That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. One of the really cool things that I think you've done with that class is the Crossing the Bridge feature. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, that actually, I need to give credit to Dr. Flanagan for actually initiating it. And we had two students last school year that really ran with it really well. They were two of my independent study students. And they created somewhat of a format. And it as it says, it crosses the bridge. It goes from our elementary school, which is on one side of the bridge, over to our campus, the middle school and high school. And we try to, you know, get to each school and find out what's going on. What can we kind of bring out to the public and let them know these amazing things that are going on in the classroom. And it's really, really cool to see. As important as it for the teachers and the administrators to speak, the students, just to see their excitement about these different programs and initiatives, and they're comfortable getting in front of the camera and speaking, and they really get, even if they're not comfortable, they go outside their comfort zone and they take the chance, and then my students will take the information, the interviews that they gather, and they shoot what we call B-roll, so that it's not just straight interview style. It makes it a little bit more interesting. I always use the reference of Chronicle, if people are familiar with that show. That it's one thing to stand there and just, you know, I am going to ask this person about such and such, while instead we try to truly get an inside look at whether it's a classroom or a program that is being held at one of the schools.
It's very, very similar to the way that, as an English teacher, I was an English teacher for a long time. One of the things that I would tell students doing an essay is show, don't tell. Show me what's happening rather than tell me what's happening.
Yes.
And I think the use of the B-roll, it shows you what the classroom's like rather than having the teacher or the subject of the interview just tell you what's going on. You can actually see it.
Exactly. And even in the way that my students will come up with questions, avoid the yes or no question. When given the choice, if someone is a little reticent to speak, they may stay to that. So tell me about something as well. And then I've been really, I'm so impressed by my students, that most of which this last two trimesters were first trimester students, and they were able to really take these segments and turn them into nicely finished pieces.
It's been a great great publicity for the system, and I know that Dr. Flanagan is very pleased with what's going on, and it's great for the kids to be able to see that end product.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we talk about as technology educators is what's called the SAMR model, which you want to take your traditional lesson and, using technology, move it to a place where it's you've redesigned it, you've recreated it, and that's the end product. And a lot of times the end product for these things is to distribute it to a wider audience.
Yes.
In the past, you might have your friend read it in class, you might have your parents read it, but now with the internet, you can put this out on YouTube and everybody in the community can see it.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to switch gears a little bit here. You teach both sixth graders and seniors in mm-hmm. high school, which is a very unique situation. And we actually talked with Dave Messina about this in a previous episode, who's in kind of the same situation. How do their uses of technology, being the sixth graders and the high school kids, how do they compare and contrast? What similarities do you see, and what differences do you see?
So interestingly enough, there isn't a huge gap in their familiarity in technology.
Yep.
Sometimes I see the sixth graders will pick up on, you know, so we have program we're using, or Pear Deck, which I think we'll talk about later, they are familiar with it, or they feel comfortable with it even sooner in some cases. I tend to make my lessons for my high schoolers a little bit more in depth, and will require a little bit more of the why did you create this and how did you come about it, things like that.
Okay. So you mentioned Pear Deck. Let's move to Pear Deck. What is it that attracted you to Pear Deck as a teaching tool, and how has it worked in your classroom?
I just love it. I just think it's great. I think I have the premium version, which allows me to be able to, if I have a second device, which I'll use either a desktop or a Chromebook, and that allows me to see, basically I will have presented part of a lesson and then say maybe, you know, partly into the lesson, it allows me to get some immediate, somewhat summative evidence as far as, do we get this? What do I need to go back over? What is the comprehension? So what will happen is on one screen, I have student responses to a question I have posted that I can see exactly who said what. Mm-hmm. And then after, while I'm going through them and while I see they're still answering, I can discreetly say, you know, Joe, could you add a little bit more to your response? Or, you know, Susie, wow, that's really cool. And then when I show the answers in front of the class, they're all anonymous. So nobody's, you know, put on the spot as far as what is being said up there. I believe it also steers away from, you know, and you can relate, I'm sure, I haven't been in the classroom, those same two or three hands going up to respond, dominating the conversation. And it also, again, it takes away from myself dominating the conversation. It leads to some great little offshoots of, you know, and they'll come up with these answers that, wow, I never thought of it that way, you know, and we'll even have some healthy debates on how things are responded to.
I think one of the great advantages that technology has provided for us as teachers is the ability, as you said, to get more kids involved in responding to whatever's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, in the past, it was just, you know, class discussion. And like you said, one or two people dominate the conversation. And, you know, some kid who might have a fabulous idea but is kind of reluctant to offer it would get, you know, basically silenced.
Yes, I see that it builds their confidence often, yeah, too.
With things like Pear Deck, and I've used Poll Everywhere in the class, and Socrative, and a lot of these new education apps really allow students, all students, to contribute to the class, and whether anonymously or, you know, putting their name to it, and it gives, you know, one of the big keywords is inclusion, and it offers inclusion for everyone. So another tool that you use that we frequently talk about is Google Classroom. Can you tell us how has Google Classroom changed the way you teach?
I love it. I think it's a win-win for students and teachers. And of course, the students are the more important part. If a student's absent, they can see, you know, they can see what has been posted. I think it helps to keep students organized and teachers organized, mm-hmm, with exactly what's going on. You know, what are the due dates? I try to attach additional, whether if I have examples from maybe a class before or any clarifications, I will attach to whatever lesson plan we have going on, which I think helps in a lot of way. It allows, you know, and I always say to my students, if you notice a discrepancy grade-wise, or, you know, say that you pass something in, I think it eliminates a lot of discrepancies because you can see exactly, you know, when something has been passed in. But at the same time, it, you know, gives us a place to immediately go to and remedy anything like that. So I think it's a great tool all around.
I completely agree, and I started using it when I was back in the classroom 2 years ago, and it's the new features of it. I'm very excited about the especially the one that came in. I don't know if I think it came in last year in the middle of the year, where you can select to which students in your class to give different assignments to.
Yes.
That's been a great help for special education teachers who may modify certain assignments for certain students so that it looks like everybody's got the same assignment,
exactly.
but actually goes to one group and then goes to the other.
Absolutely.
All right, final question. Other than Pear Deck and Google Classroom, what other extension or app is your current favorite and why?
Okay. I actually just recently attended a conference, and it was sponsored by the company Common Sense Media.
Mm-hmm.
And so more of not so much an app, but they have an unbelievable set of curriculum to supplement
yes.
K through 12. I use it a lot in my grade 6 classroom. We talk about everything from copyright, fair use to, you know, cyber safety, cyberbullying, things that have come up. And it really, an interesting statement made by someone that was presenting is that, you know, you hear a lot of kind of the buzzword of social emotional literacy and things like that. And this woman was saying that it really should be incorporated into every class, in a way, you know, any way that you can, rather than a separate social emotional.
You're talking incorporate social emotional learning.
Yes, learning lessons, things like that, and Common Sense Media helps you to do that right into your lessons. Whether you know it may be a little bit more difficult in say a math class or, but in writing, in my media courses, I definitely have found that it is a great tool, a great resource.
Oh, that's interesting. Combining the social emotional. Literacy with the technology. That's kind of a new thing that's happening. That's great.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, and hopefully you come back in the future, maybe next year if I continue to do this.
Great.
And who knows what classes you'll be teaching
yeah,
and
absolutely.
What grades you'll be teaching.
Yes.
It's never boring at Tyngsborough Public Schools.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's all for this week's episode. I'd like to thank Anne Marie Roy for joining us and sharing her experiences teaching media studies to middle school and high school students. If you want to leave us a voice message, you can do so from the Anchor app on your phone by clicking the message button. If you'd like to suggest a future topic or a future guest for Teacher Tech Talk, you can leave a voice message or send me an email. For my email address, check out the show notes page on my website. That's pages.tyngsboroughps.org/Varnum. You can also find this information on the podcast homepage, anchor.fm/teacher-tech-talk. Please join us next time when we will talk with Kristen Maraca, a technology and STEM teacher at Tyngsborough Elementary School. And we'll focus on how technology is taught to younger elementary school students, kindergarten, first and second graders. I hope you can join us. Remember, don't be afraid to try something new in the classroom. We'll catch you next time.